If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly, obviously. Phillies won a game today. That was nice. We needed it. You know, this entire series is annoying, close games, whatever. But we'll get to that because when the High Hopes family, and yes, anyone drafted by the Philadelphia Phillies, just like the people drafting them, Brian Barber and, you know, making the decisions, Presley Mattingly, are all High Hopes family. Anyone drafted by this organization is High Hopes family. When we have two members of the High Hopes family who are no hitters on the big stage, people, Jack Fritz
wow,
and Gage Wood, like, let's go, buddy. It's so funny. I was saying we have, if you don't pay attention to tune in for the YouTubes, like, you know, you should. You can see us and all that. But I was saying to Jack, like, every year Jack is thrilled with whoever they draft in the sense of he has a new player to get excited about and he's on board and he's following them. Like, this is the year you have the most people with you. People are going to be like, that guy? That dude? And I'll say one thing and then the floor is yours. And we'll get to the Padres series. You know, we will. And by the way, first place heading into the All-Star break. Shout out, you know, take some victories when we get them. But here's what I'll say about Gage Wood, in addition to the, you know, obvious like, big game performance, all the cool stuff. And you know, it seems like from, you know, me locking in for the last half an hour on some draft prep and all that, seems like, an appropriate pick where he went. Was ranked 16th by Kylie McDaniel, ranked Chet, whatever, you know, whatever long-term, whatever, you know, we'll get to you. But I will say my favorite thing about him, and I noted it in the moment when it happened after the 19 strikeouts and stuff, like, I just love the interview on the field. I know it's like it was a big deal in the moment. People can go either way, but where it was like, you know, what are your thoughts on the way? He's like, I shouldn't hit that guy. I was like, yeah, you shouldn't. I'm like, you, my guy. Like, that's like, it's like you just threw a 19 strikeout, no hitter in the first no hitter in the College World Series, like this unbelievable thing. And the only reason you didn't have a perfect game is because you hit a guy, which it's like everyone is like, wow, dude, you are amazing. And he's like, man, I shouldn't hit that guy. That's a freaking a type of person and a type of mentality. So I'm in, dude. Gage Wood, and also, you know, an all-time Jack Fritz name guy. Are you kidding me? Gage Wood. Like, I would think any line of work that is like tough and physical and whatever, you could tell me it was going to be a lumberjack and this, that, I'd be like, yep, I'm in. Gage Wood. Yep. He a superhero. Yep. Sure. Gage Wood. I'm in.
So I can't wait. First of all, I cannot wait to have at a minimum 3 to 4 more Miller Lights and watch the Murray State beat down 19 strikeout, no hitter. So my first thought is this is a
watching some tape.
Well, if we're going to go completely honest here, I didn't waste my time on any college.
Yeah.
We
thought it'd be a high school arm if it was going to be an arm, you know?
Yeah. Would have loved Josh Hammond, but whatever. Sean Gamble went 23rd. That's fine. What they got in Gage Wood is a dog. First of all, he is a 100% bulldog on the mound.
Clearly.
Everyone can see
and
that.
Mentality. That's the whole thing I was just talking about. Like, that's a dog mentality. Shout out Nick Sirianni.
He's taking down the Murray State Racers. I don't know if Isaiah Cannon, Ja Morant, I don't know if they were on that team, but he struck out 19 of them, and he threw a no-hitter in the College World Series. They were on some miracle run. It was great. This is a guy that can help them in September. Like, I know that sounds, I know that sounds bold. I know that sounds out there. I know that sounds aggressive, but he is a college arm that throws high 90s. He is not a, the way that I view him, he is not some projectable right-handed pitcher. I think he is who he is right now. I think who he is who he's going to be, because he's not super tall. He's a shorter guy. He has, I think he's mostly maxed out his stuff right now. And I think he's someone that could help this bullpen down the stretch run. I legitimately believe that. And I always bring up, so I always call him, I always mix up the Nationals closer and the guy that was on the Reds / Royals.
Kyle Finnegan is the Nationals guy for sure. Okay.
So Brandon Finnegan was the guy who was drafted by the Reds and traded to the Royals.
For sure.
Okay, so he came up in the first year and helped them on their World Series run in 15, I believe. So that was my first thought. Like, this is not some projectable, you know, guy that's going to help in 3 years. He's going to either be here in September in the bullpen, or he is going to be in the bullpen in the open of next year. We'll see what happens with Ranger. Like, maybe they develop him from the standpoint of letting him start games, and maybe that slows his progression. But when you watch him, when you see his mechanics, which are, I think he's kind of maxed out, and you see his competitiveness, the guy screams like he could be in this bullpen in a couple of months. He really does. And I know that sounds aggressive. It sounds insane. But when we talk about trade deadline acquisitions, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that we should be talking about Gage Wood as a deadline acquisition, as a possible right-handed option. Like, think of it this way. Just think of it this way. Orion Kerkering jumped 5 levels in 1 year as a 5th-round pick from South Florida, who was a starter and pitched to a 5-something ERA. Gage Wood was the ace of an Arkansas staff that pitched in the College World Series and threw a no-hitter in the College World Series. Like, there's just a different level of pedigree here. So it's a really fascinating pick. It is not a super high upside pick. I think he could eventually work his way into being a high upside pick. And, you know, because I think that maybe eventually they transition into the rotation. They were an organization that I think needed some more pitching in it, because after Abel, and Chassé obviously needs Tommy John, we know that. But after Abel, the starting pitching quality in the minor leagues just isn't there. So it's really interesting. There's not much room for growth, but at least where it stands right now, this is a kid that can help them as soon as they want it, in my opinion. So a super, super fascinating pick, and one that I'm trying to think of slot dollars right now, because my mindset was that they were going to go under slot in this pick, like they did last year with Nori, and go over slot in the second round where they drafted Griffin Burkholder. I think that Gage Wood is going to be either direct slot or a little underneath. I do think they save some money here to where they will be able to use it in the second round. That's where I think they go for a high school type player later tonight. But Gage Wood, it's a fascinating pick, and one that I'm definitely, definitely pretty excited about. And seeing all the College World Series highlights certainly makes you that much more excited.
Yeah, look, he's basically, maybe a couple months younger, a couple months older. I didn't feel like doing the math, but he's basically the same age Kerkering is when he made his major league debut. Now, granted, Woods would probably be in a slightly higher leverage situation, though Kerkering did come up later in that year, but not, you know, but was pretty quickly at more or less the same age Gage Wood is pitching in high leverage situations in the major leagues without much experience prior to that, you know? So it's not, and we've seen it to your point with other teams, it's become somewhat of a philosophy in some spots where it's like, oh, they're drafting that guy to put him into their bullpen as quickly as they can. And look, you know, as far as it goes to the point you keep making, I mean, if you're going to talk about someone who is going to have the mentality and the stones and whatever to step in at that age to these high pressure situations and big spots, I mean, yeah, I'll take the kid who just threw the 19 strikeout no hitter in the College World Series, the biggest spot of his life, and then afterwards said I shouldn't have hit the guy. Like, that's the right mentality. Like, who knows until they're in those spots under the brightest of lights, but like, that's the right guy to bet on to be that type of profile for what you're talking about. And look, to the just talent perspective, let's not underrate it. I mean, Tucker and I, when we were waiting for you to log on, were listening to the analysis of the draft, and whoever was talking, I couldn't see it was on Tucker's end, but said best fastball in the draft in their opinion. So it's not like this guy does. And look, I'm not saying he has it. I don't know. Jack making a face for those just listening. But The point being that, like, someone on the MLB network thought it, like, the point being that he's not like, it's not like insane talent wise that he's going where he's going. He's just not to the point we initially made when they take an Abel or a Painter a few years ago, where it's like, oh, this is someone who are you projecting long-term can turn into something. This is something where, and I don't know if he's already a finished product, like, you know,
he's pretty close. I mean, to me,
regardless, like experience, you know, knowledge, learning new pitches, like all those things can happen. Who knows what's going to happen? But point being that you're drafting, to your point, when you're drafting someone who's 21 instead of 18 and has his experiences, like you're already heading more towards a finished product, you know, whatever you want to call it, than the potential at the end.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I love is 69 strikeouts in 37 innings pitched.
Yep.
Like, that is...
That'll play.
That is ridiculous.
That'll play.
Like, I haven't dug into, like, the numbers, but I was like, oh, quickly, let me look real quick. 69 strikeouts in 37 innings is absurd. It's absurd. It's, and yeah, it's only, pretty insane. Only 7 walks during that whole time
that's
period.
That's huge.
Yeah. So, listen, I I don't think it's a high upside pick. I just don't. I think that he is someone who is pretty much where he is going to be. But we talk about, like, Griff McGarry, right? And, like, Griff McGarry shoved for Virginia in the College World Series in 21 or whatever. This is a much more close to finish product that is really, like, the most important takeaway from the Gage Wood pick. One, he's a psychopath, 100%. And like, I think that's going to be, going to be fun. And I think him in front of this crowd's going to be amazing. But two is that don't view this as someone that is going to take 2 years in the minor leagues. If he's not up here by next year, I frankly think it's a whiff of a pick. Like, I think that he is that close stuff wise and talent wise, because he's a shorter guy, you know. I think he's like, if he's 6 foot, yeah, he's 6 foot 205, which he might be 5'10", you know. I mean, if he's listed at 6 foot, he might not be. So there's not like some super, you gotta work it all together and let him kind of go. I think you are watching what you are watching. So you know, from the standpoint of possibly helping the team this year, and definitely helping in the bullpen next year. I don't know if he's ever going to be a starter. Like, I think he can, but, you know, where this rotation is, at least, you know, we'll see what happens with Ranger, but standing wise, it's in pretty good shape. I think maybe he can come in and, like, be a five or what. I really do think that his future is as a super high leverage bullpen type of arm. So, I'd be lying if I said, I kind of can't wait to get off this podcast and go watch a lot of his tape. I'd be lying.
We know, buddy. We know. No one would be surprised by that at all.
I am, so to pull a Seltzer card, I am so tired. Walker was up until like
2:30
in the morning last night.
Yeah, welcome aboard, pal.
It was one of one lack of sleep last night from old Walker last night. I am so tired. But you know what I can't wait to do? I can't wait to get in and grind the Murray State tape and start talking about how this guy's going to help us in September. Because He's got the talent. He's got the talent, baby. Come
on. I love it. I love it. And look, who knows? It is interesting. We don't know. And look, we'll have Brian Barber on at some point to talk about the picks like we always do. Hopefully, you know, we assume. But it'll be interesting to see what their mindset is with this guy, that if they, you know, and who knows what they say and what they think. But, you know, it is interesting. And maybe if they are thinking that way, whether this year or certainly for next year, but it does maybe give you a little clue into what they think about the current group, about adding to it, about how to add to it. Maybe, you know, they feel the bullpen market is a little tighter than they hoped, and they want to add two arms. It could only add one. Like, who knows? It's just an interesting pick from a philosophical perspective as well, especially like we've talked about, for a team that has been so heavy on the high school pitcher thing.
It's such a fast track pick. It's such a fast track pick. And it makes you think about Wheeler's window, you know, and Gelber, the whole thing about how it's kind of seems like the organization is concerned about Wheeler's window and the lockout after next year. Yeah. So,
in the Gelb thing too, that they are just, he's hearing that they are more willing than in past years to part with real deal prospects, you know?
Yeah. I know. It's certainly a really, an exciting time, but also nerve-wracking time.
I know, especially as the draft is happening and we're talking about your babies. You're two at home. They keep you up the other day.
Don't let Josh Hammond get to the next pick. Don't let him.
Yeah. All right. One more question about the draft, and then we'll react to the Padres. Then you could say whatever you want about the draft more. But my
will
last
we be
question
on for the
now,
second pick? Will be yeah. will we be on?
I doubt pick? It. You said we might, like the way the draft's been going, it's been moving. Right? You were like,
I kind of nailed the time.
No, you said like 7:30. It was like 8:30. We got 8:15.
Not bad. I said between 8 and 8:15. Yeah, 95% sure.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But speaking of the second pick, that was my question. You know, put on your Nostradamus hat if you had to predict, without knowing not the player, but if you had to guess, do you think they go a hitter? Do you think they take a high school arm in that spot? Do you think they, like, if you had to guess what do they make another stab at someone who could help them soon? Like, what do you think is the most likely thing without knowing how the board shakes out over the next, you know, 25, whatever, how many picks there are?
Well, so first off, I'm totally surprised that we're even talking about Gage Wood right now. So my whole draft.
You're all over the place. I can imagine. Shifted off. Your whole perspective. Who knows what they're doing?
Come on, man. I was so ready to do. I was so ready to talk about Josh Hammond or Sean Gamble at 26 and then Matthew Fisher at, you know, whenever their next pick hit is. Matthew Fisher is like a high school arm. I don't think they go high school arm right now. I mean, like, in a totally selfish, like, not understanding the slot money situation, like whatever Gage Wood is supposed to get. Again, I don't think it's going to be a super lot. I think he's going to be either at slot or under slot because he is a pretty maxed out college arm. So I don't think he's going to be like someone they're going to have to pay a ton of money to get. My hope is that they go for a more high upside high school bat. It's a great high school shortstop class. A lot of shortstops went. It was shocking. So again, like Cooper Fleming's a name that I think is really interesting. You know, there's a good amount of it's funny. Jordan Yost, who went 24, I thought was going to be in play.
Any relation to Ned?
Actually, no. Like no relation to Ned Yost. The only Royals Phillies connection currently in the system is Robert Moore, which is Dayton Moore's kid.
There you go.
So yeah, I don't even want
JJ Piccolo have a kid. No, anyway,
I don't even want to pretend like I have some great answer for you. I hope that they go for a high upside high school bat because that's all I care about. It's all I'm
looking
at.
The real answer is I can't wait to find out.
I can't wait for that. They have another pick after that. There's three picks tonight. And then guess what? When I'm driving to the middle of nowhere tomorrow for 4.5 hours, I might have to fire off some draft picks while I'm I'm driving.
Lucky Jill.
Tough day. Tough day to be a part of the Fritz family.
Drive with the kids and hear you talk about the draft. Yeah. Sweet.
It's okay.
Vacation
you know what it is, though?
Time.
You know what it is, though? It's not a bad way to pass time. It's not a bad way to pass time. Think about the MLB draft.
Maybe if she needs a nap or something, you know? I don't know.
So you're saying that your role right now is comparable to taking a nap? Is that what you're suggesting here?
Brother, let me tell you, as someone who over the last 2.5 years has become a real napsman, nothing better than a good nap. Amazing.
That's fine. So great. But there's simply no naps at 8:40 on a Sunday night when the Phillies take Gagewood in the first round.
Even talking about a nap, I get tired. Let's move on to a different topic. All right. Look, not a time. It was an annoying series, you know, similar to granted, didn't have the walk off inside the park loss like the San Francisco one, but an annoying series where they lose the first two close games and then they win the last one close game. I thought, you know, starting pitching still good. It was San Suarez, you know, kind of is, you know, when he gives up 3 runs, it's almost like, oh my God, what the hell's wrong with Ranger? He looks terrible because he had been so great. It was almost jarring to see him give up any sort of, you know, base runners and runs. Wheeler, similar thing, just gives up the runs early and kind of struggles and then gives up that 4th run. It felt when they went ahead 4-3, it was going to kind of turn the right way. And then, but like, you know, I don't think there's too much to take away from the series. Like I said, you know, the West Coast, they're just, it is what it is. The Padres are good. Like, I don't have like a real takeoff of this. They're in first place heading in. Like, we know what the issues are. Like, what are we? It's July 13th. So we're like 2 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away from the trade deadline. Like, that's really going to be such a massive thing for everything. It's like, you know, go get some guys, Dave. Like, go get some guys. Like, I don't really know what else to say. Like, go
wrap the pod. Wrap the pod.
Some guys. Like you said, you're tired. I mean, I'm just trying to help you out if you're tired, you know? No, for real, though. Like, did anything – I guess my question is, did you have any takeaways from the series? I feel like the biggest story of the series – was the players being very open about how ridiculous they thought it was that Christopher Sanchez was not an all-star. And obviously they're right. I mean, that kid's the Mizrahi, or however you say it, Jacob.
Mizrahi,
he's super fun and like fun to watch, but like, what are we doing here? Like, this is like, Nick's right. Honestly, it was the most ridiculous comment. He's also the most round point. It is like Savannah Bananas as instead of like, who's an all-star. But I feel like that was the biggest story of the Padre. Like, friggin' Trey Turner's coming at me like it's a joke. I was shocked at how frank they were. Like, and I love them standing up for their teammate, and that's awesome. Like, I got no issues with any of it. I was just shocked at how honest they were about a Major League Baseball thing. But, you know, their showcase event of the summer, I guess, theoretically. But, you know, other than that, and I guess you can comment on that too, but any big takeaways? Do whatever you want. It's your butt too. I'm just the guy who does it with you. Any takeaways from the series? I guess the roundabout question I'm asking.
Yeah. So first of all, I am glad that they all, like, there's a big, so I was driving around maybe yesterday. And I was saying to myself, is this the rallying cry?
Is that Chris Sanchez?
Now,
bring them together.
Ranger turned it down. So we don't have to worry about that. Yes. But, yes. You know, Chris Sanchez, is this the thing that unites?
Win it
this
for
team?
Sanchi. Win it for Sanchi. Honestly, what they should be doing is like win it for the contract he signed. Like, you know, thank you for that.
It seems like you really like that contract. You seem very fired up.
I just really got one. We've
got one.
Yeah, it's exciting. Anyway, go ahead.
So, and first off, you want to talk about little things that matter, like the Phillies just picking up the bonus. Or whatever, and just
as soon as the thing happened, like there were multiple people on Twitter who were like, the Phillies should just pay the bonus. And like most times when you see fans say something, you're just like, all right, whatever. And, like this time immediately I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, they should absolutely 100% pick up the bonus. And they did immediately. And like, it's exactly what they should have done. It's perfect. Like there's no other move there. Like it's great PR. It's not that much money for them. Nothing. Like it was a no-brainer of a move, but also like good on them, you know?
Yeah, it's not like the Saquon contract, which
nobody
they didn't have to give him for.
Can we all be honest about it? Saquon definitely asked for more money and they gave it to him. And they're like, we're not gonna tell everyone that you asked for more money. Don't worry. We're just gonna be like, we're rewarding you. Yeah. When is Howie Roseman rewarding anyone with money that counts against the salary cap. Like, come on.
Anyway. Maybe they talked to him right after he got hit in the head with the beer can.
Yeah. The point is, they talked to him. There is no way that they just that Howie called Saquon and was like, "You want more money?"
Like, hey, it's the right thing to do.
Hey, pal. You know what? Jeffrey and I were talking, and we just thanks, man.
You just
man.
Deserve it.
Thanks.
You just
yeah.
deserve it. You're just the best. More.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I'll figure it out with the cap. Yeah. I'll figure it out. You know what? We won't re-sign someone. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's good. I'd rather do that, you know?
So what if you're running back that had unbelievable usage last year? Here's an extra $40 million. No problem.
Oh, and we can lock you in for another year because, you know, yeah. that'll yeah. you know, running backs yeah. age great. Be great.
No problem. But from the Sanchez standpoint, like it was, I was glad to see they picked it up and I was glad to see they went out and shoved today. And, yeah. you know, he was never going to pitch in the All-Star game because he pitched today. And
just give him that. That's what I didn't get about it. That was the weirdest thing. It's like, just name him an All-Star and then he's going to say, can't do it. And then give it to the other guy. Like, and then you don't have this like controversy. It was so weird.
I know. So, it was certainly weird, but it was good to see again the Phillies kind of rally around it, and maybe it made him mad. I'm actually like kind of happy they played as well as they did this series. I know they lost 2 or 3, but they were a bunch of coin flip games. Yeah. Even today was a coin flip game, but really this whole West Coast series, I don't think has been. I know that they've only won 2 games in this West Coast series.
Run differential, buddy. They came out of it like, I don't know what the numbers are, but it got to be like 7-8 runs up, I would think, you know?
Well, and again, the flaws are the flaws. There's nothing that was going to change that this series. And actually, the thing that I feel the most positive about, besides adding a possible bullpen weapon in Gage Wood tonight, is that Bryce looks great. I mean, He looks strong. He looks
and he's
confident.
Talking great too, as we talked about in the last pod. I mean, like he is like I even mentioned to Emily how shocked I was by the I'm Bryce Harper. I'm great or whatever he said. Like I'm one of the best in baseball. Like I was so you really never hear guys say it like that. You know, it's almost like he needed to. Bryce never does that. It was almost like he needed to pump himself up or something, Jack.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like
he was so down
in public. Yes. Like he needed to say it into a microphone in front of real people and put it out there for himself or something, you know?
I totally agree. I think that was a big like self-motivation hack of him coming back, him being sort of sluggish coming off the IL, him getting annoyed at himself and then having to remind him. It was almost like me in golf, you know?
Against the camera. I'm still the big dog, buddy. Yeah.
You saw how I was basically like a like a bird of prey on when we pitched on Wednesday. I was like stalking the mound.
You were in complete control.
That's a good way to put it. I kind of felt like I was in complete control. Ike totally sniffed it out in the air. You know, he was like, you kind of felt like you're, it was back in the day, didn't you? And I was like, not going to lie. I was like, and by the way, people have totally overrated how I pitch. Like, I know you look at the final stat line, 5 strikeouts, 0-for-8, a damn near perfect game. And you would think, what a performance.
Yep.
I didn't have much left in that in the old winger. You know,
I like what you're doing here because ultimately when Joe won golf, you did the whole like, I gotta be honest, like Joe didn't win, I lost. Like, you know, which you know is questionable strategy, but I think it's actually the truth. So,
well,
like,
I did. Yeah, there's no way he won.
You golf. Going here like, hey, listen, I won, but Joe also lost because Joe was bad.
Horrible. I mean horrible. He did, you know, lightly ground out a couple times, but
dude, he is the most shocking, honestly, even more than you losing in golf, the most shocking thing that has happened in this whole thing so far, on air or off air, was me seeing Joe run for real and realizing that he is the slowest human I've ever seen in person. Like there are people who are slower. I've never with my eyes seen someone who is trying to run fast run that slow ever.
Well, so I thought you were gonna say that the most shocking thing has been his confidence in hitting left-handed, because
that's my point. It's like that was like honestly a little shocking, but he's Joe and he's weird and like whatever. He is the slowest person I've ever. It was like it's almost like if you're like watching life through a video camera and you could stop it and hit slow motion. It was like I couldn't believe it. It was honestly, it was like kind of horrifying to see someone run that slow. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I know. So I totally forget where I was going to go. But regardless,
you just wanted to shout it out. And also,
I didn't really want to.
You self-deprecated. It was fine.
That's what I do. You know,
You won and dominated. However bad Joe was, you dominated. That's all that matters.
Well, again,
and you struck him out at the end with some high heat swinging, which was nice.
Yeah. See, I mean, maybe a possible 20th round pick by the Phils tonight or tomorrow.
I'm sure.
Maybe they'll mix it in.
Yeah, that 72 over the plate is exactly what they are looking for.
Projectable. Could be projectable.
Young and projectable. That's right.
Yeah, dude. Hold on. 31. Dude, lives in Limburg.
He'll be in the majors by 34 and he'll be throwing 83 or 84 by then. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it seems like
is he a knuckleballer? No, knuckleball.
No, just a simple two seam, four seam mix. with a cutter that sometimes moves.
Yeah, we think he can be a late inning reliever.
Yeah, get me on the Rapsodo cameras.
It's actually is that Mike Morin? Is that the actual scouting report from Mike Morin? Am I wrong or I don't know?
Dude, what a dreadful time. It's actually so funny. That bullpen was so bad that this bullpen is still way better.
It's so crazy. You're so right. I mean, if you brought like Joe Ross into that bullpen, you'd be like, wow, well, at least we have Joe Ross.
Mm-hmm. By the way, how awesome is Pivetta, dude? I mean,
oh, buddy, look at the smile on your face.
Awesome.
You're just like a proud papa.
We finally learned about the four seamer up getting above guys.
Yeah, he's good, man. Look, we've seen him twice in a week or whatever, twice in a week and a half. And he's great in both. Yeah. No. Good. Yeah. I'm happy for you, man.
Well, listen, I too am happy for me, but the photo of me and Pivetta, I really do look horrible. I mean, just
wow. It's hilarious. It's great. Especially because like especially like players and you know, obviously famous people are like they take a lot of pictures. Players maybe like Nick Pivetta at that point, less so, but still takes pictures, this and that. It's rare that you can look at a picture of an athlete or a famous person with someone and can visibly see that the famous person slash athlete doesn't want to be taking the picture with the person. And you could see it with the, like, he is clearly like, I can't believe this freaking guy who talks about me. Like, I can't, like, all right.
I totally disagree. It was a beautiful moment.
You can feel it coming through the picture. It's like, Nick's like,
that's not how the interaction was at all. That's not how it was at all. That is actually a disgusting description by you. And frankly, I'm ready to quit the podcast right now. That's not what it was at all. He came out. This is the day the world shut down in 2020.
Which is hilarious.
So we got right in time. Right in time. So yeah, no, he came out. And we had a perfectly normal interaction, and we took a great photo. And I look I've never seen a more tired looking 25-year-old than me in that photo.
I look
horrible, and I think that 31-year-old Jack is in a much better spot than
it's a good thing, than, buddy. I'm than proud 25-year-old of you.
Jack. Yeah. Thank you. We've worked hard at it. We've grinded. We've grinded to the top.
Yeah. The royal we, or you. I've
me
or we've
me. Don't use big terms in this podcast. Shut up. We got Gagewood.
You got a take back or anything?
Yeah, dude. I got plenty of stuff.
Go ahead. I got nothing else to say.
I mean, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do about a Buxton Duran like?
Combo platter. People get so excited. Bucks will get hurt in his like a second game as a Philly. It'll be like, yes.
I know. Bucks
keeps raking. I can't believe he's healthy and he's raking.
I need Byron.
He had a cycle the other night. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Five for five. I need Byron Buxton to grow up and demand the trade.
Yeah, well, you're going to say stay healthy.
I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of it. Like, a Buxton Duran, the trade package is it's going to cost everything.
Oh my God, but, everything, dude. I mean, Duran alone, how many years does he have in control?
A lot. I mean
he's
enough.
So good. I mean, he's your closer for that time. You know, it's like, damn.
Dude,
you probably have to give up Painter just to get Duran, right? You would think so?
No. Painter's still untouchable. We'll start with Aiden. But I just, it is, there
he is. Hold on real quick. He is under control through 27. So two more years after this plus this one.
Okay.
So two and a half years. So that's a fair amount of control.
Well, so, and here's the thing. They are actually, and I'm trying not to get excited about the trade deadline because I've been let down so many times. It's kind of like the draft. You know, I try to downplay my excitement about the draft because I was pacing my house tonight at the 23rd pick. It was disgusting. I was
so not surprised. You texted me like multiple different times telling me how nervous you were.
I'm very nervous. Very nervous. But, you know, they have a lot of good options. Like, if they want to do the all-in classic Dombrowski move, I mean, if you want to do Sir Anthony and Bautista, you know, bring Sir Anthony home. Bautista has been unbelievable for the Orioles. That's a lockdown back end of the bullpen. You can go get Chapman with the Red Sox, who's only on a 1-year deal. He's been great.
Great.
You can go get Griffin Jackson and Duran from the Twins. You can go get the Dennis Santana Bednar from the Pirates if you want to. Like, they're just,
Class A is out there. They're just guys. Yeah.
There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys, and there was a lot of talk last week about, and I would obviously take Class A. I just don't want to give up the farm for Class A. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I just think the stuff, I think he's pitched so much the last couple of years that it's eventually going to catch up to him. And you're
still young.
But it's an old.
I get it. I get it. But it's so volatile. I will say it's two more years after this one at $10 million per, which is less than I thought that contract was. So, like, I'm with you. I get it. He has not been as good this year as past years, but it's intriguing. But I agree, he would cost a lot. I think if you're getting Kwan, like, I think Kwan is more exciting to me there. But I will say overall, with the and that's the interesting thing about the packages of like Buxton and Duran or Buxton and Jax or Kwan and Class A, like those are, kind of just be like, let's go.
Yes.
I do think, and I still think they need both. I have migrated over the last week and a half, 2 weeks to, if I could only have one and get both, but if I could only have one, I might need
a terrible take.
I'm not sure of it. Like, I'm like still straddling the line. Okay.
Woo!
It made me sneeze.
Oh, wow. What a sneeze.
Yeah.
What a pro. Woo. What a pro.
Woo!
We just have to gauge Wood tonight, okay? So he's going to be in the bullpen.
Got to factor that into my equation. That's a great.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Allergic to good takes. Didn't think I'd see the day.
I've been on the bat the entire time. I'm just starting to waver, man. I'm starting to waver. All right. Sunday night. I never am up this late. What do you want me to do?
You're fine. I mean, you're fine. You're doing well.
Thanks, buddy. I'm trying.
So I hear you on the bullpen piece. Obviously, having Jordan Romano take down high leverage innings is excruciating. Mm. And so is although it wasn't great today, but Strom got the job done in the ninth. So maybe they
got it done. Yep.
Strom and Kirkring, we're fine. But I do think at least, you know, 2 weeks out from the trade deadline, there are, if they want to go and make a big splash and they want to go and push the chips in, there are a lot of, and Dave options. They love his combos, you know.
I know the Rodolfo Castro.
And wait until, well, Rodolfo Castro was straight up for Bailey Falter. Let's grow up a little bit.
Yeah, but then they went back and made a trade with
it was the Angels.
I know. Relax. All right. Rein it in.
You're going to keep sneezing into the
phone. I'm trying to rein it in here, right? That's what you get.
And they traded for Ian Kennedy and Kyle Gibson. So that's a two for one.
There it is. But, what a winner that is.
So this is all means that we're getting Kenley Jansen and Joe Adele, who I'd be thrilled with. I'd be thrilled with Joe Adele.
Joe Adele would be great. Kenley Jansen less so, but Joe Adele I'd be in on.
Sorry, I meant Rob Refsnyder and Aroldis Chapman. That's the best that we're gonna do. Yeah. I would die for Rob Refsnyder. I mean, that's always been Rob Refsnyder's always been target 1A for me.
You would die for it. That seems a little dramatic.
Didn't know you hated a 900 plus OPS against left.
No, I would just, you know, I would just start lower. Like, you know, I would give up a finger or something. I don't know. You know, if I'm really going to get dramatic about it, like I give up a finger, right? And people be like, you what? That's crazy to give up a finger for a guy. And like, I guess I would die. Anyway.
Why don't you sneeze one more time?
I might. If you give me a bring it. All right. Are you tired?
No, I'm all right.
Proud of you.
What else do I got tonight?
That's a question, pal. I'm just playing off you. I'm yes anding right now.
I'm trying to see if the Phils have made any more drafts. Wow, Zach Root went 41. Ew, the Yankees took Killaby. All right.
Just live reacting.
I have two more very important things. This is not to totally dump on Logan Ohapi, but I simply do.
I saw your tweet there. Look at you.
You like that? I've been sitting on that tweet for 4 days. You
just waiting for him to pass? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Because like, or something like that, you're like, there it is. Ah. We got no for four tonight. Let's go.
Logan Ohapi has become the most overrated player in the history of Phillies baseball in the Phillies online sphere. First off, Brandon Marsh also has a higher OPS than Logan Ohapi, so I want that out there. Logan Ohapi is the worst defensive catcher in baseball, so I also want that out there. And JT Realmuto at 34 or whatever has a higher OPS. So everything's fine. It's okay. I do wonder. It was interesting. Max Kepler sat today against a righty.
Yeah, it wasn't. You're right. That was interesting. Good point. That was interesting. Now Bone sat too, but the Kepler thing was interesting.
Bone got hit in the ribs. You know.
Yeah, he did. You're right. Yeah. Unlike Joe DeCamera, who was afraid to take one in the ribs. Go ahead.
He was. So I really do think that we're close to release time for Kepler. They'll come back from the All-Star break. He'll probably still be here. I like that they're giving Zach Wheeler extra rest off of it, because I think watching him yesterday, it looks like he needs some extra rest.
Totally.
Especially
for that run he had. I mean, again, like the June into that 12 strikeout when it started, he was just, I mean, that's one of his best runs as a Philly, you know?
It might be his best.
Yeah, exactly.
So Realmuto Ohapi. I just want to make sure that we address that. And then in things that no one cares about besides me and maybe five people, Dante Nora was 3-4 today with a home run.
Buddy.
I watched every single one of his at-bats. He's starting to like really square up the baseball in a meaningful way. He'll be in Jersey Shore hopefully by the end of the year. But from the standpoint of, it seemed like there was no buzz about him. Seemed like there was no, is this guy going to be anything? I think he is erasing that doubt. I've been really, really impressed with him. You know, the bat looks quick. Aiden hit a home run today, which is great as well. So, you know, all of our guys. Andrew Painter struggled again-ish. I'm sort of like, whatever, with Andrew Painter at this point. you know,
for this year, for right now, you mean? Yes, not long term. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, long term, I think he's fine. I just think that right now it's annoying to go through. And Gage Wood will be up here in October anyway. So
it's a great take. It's your best take of the pod. I will say people should care about the Dante Norrie thing in a philosophical sense, in that that's what the Phillies need to become. Because we're talking about the trade deadline, and is Dave going to give away big prospects, and are they going to trade for Buxton and Durham, which would be Miller and Crawford and this and that, whatever. Like, the way you can do that and not have the 2013 to 2018 thing is by drafting and developing other guys. Like, if you're going to trade the guys that are top 50 guys in baseball that you've drafted and developed and turned into that, guess what? You got to replenish them. And that's why we feel good about it, you know, with Barber and Mattingly and the whole structure that, you know, is finally, in our opinion, you know, doing it the right way. But that's how good teams function. That's why they can trade, you know, good prospects and trade them year after year, like the Dodgers or whatever can, you know, can always find prospects to trade away because they draft and develop well. Like Dante Norrie being good matters because they need to hit on these picks. They need to continue to draft and develop them well. So, because, you know, we got trade deadline coming up, but we might be losing some of the guys who they have drafted and developed well.
Yep. And the Royals drafted both Hammond and Sean Gamble. So that is crushing for, Royals. For me personally.
Freaking real yes. Royals, yeah.
Well, guess who
Dayton Moore, helps. Your kid better be good, all right? That's what I'm saying, Dayton Moore.
Well,
all right?
You know who helps them with drafts?
Is it Arbuckle still back in the day? Arbuckle. Is he really still doing it? No. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Good for you, Mike. Just a king.
Yep. So
true king.
Great.
Read about him and ringthebellbook.com.
Yeah, just the book's just called ringthebellbook.com.
Yes, yep. Ring the bell, the book.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how to say it either. Yeah.
I'm just trying to promote for you. I figured it was more important to get the website out there than the name of the book.
It is
in the
it
website.
Is.
So
and Seltzer's in there, and as yes. and is the highest community.
Day. Made my day.
Beautiful.
Great. No, it's was slinging books this weekend. Just slinging books. We're moving product.
So proud of you. Yeah.
I can't wait for the whole Conklin
event. You're out there. You're out there stumping. I can't wait for the reveal. We're already looking forward to like volume 3. All right. Have a good trip to middle of Pennsylvania. Whatever's going on. We'll be back when the Phillies play again, unless they do something in between now and then, which they won't because the All-Star.
Please don't make a trade in the next 3 days.
Don't do it. Nope. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. Gagewood, Jack, I'm excited for you to check out Jack's Twitter, where I'm sure he will react to the picks coming up because I'm sure he'll be excited.
Yes.
We'll definitely bring him down next pod. Until then. He's Fritz himself.